Welcome to Liquid Always.
Nice.
I'm Noah.
And I'm Lindsay. And this is the first time we're doing this tonight.
We are here to talk about the waters we see before us, wonder, and talk about how God is going to part them.
Mm-hmm.
Figuratively.
Figuratively, yes.
Thank you so much for tuning in, if you are tuning in.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, and please like and subscribe and do all those things. We got lots of big news.
Lots of big stuff. Through.
But full disclaimer, this is our second time doing this episode because Dum Dum forgot to hit record. So we may be able to do it more efficiently.
Probably. So we'll still, because we were like, we have to, like, so much has happened.
So in the much last has happened.
Week and a half since we've recorded.
We
must update.
Yes.
But yeah, that was a bummer.
We just did 45 minutes and now we're gonna do hopefully 30, but probably another 45. So,
but alas, here we are.
Here we are. So
first news, what are we doing tomorrow?
Snowboarding at Breckenridge, and it's gonna be awesome.
Dope.
We are stoked.
Yeah.
We're jazzed. Yeah. It's going to be our first time.
Yeah. First time snowboarding not on the East Coast.
It is going to be lovely.
You know, if you're from the East Coast, they say, like, if you can snowboard on the East Coast, you can snowboard anywhere because you learned how to snowboard on ice, basically. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Super pumped to get our first day under our belt.
Yeah.
Kind of see what it looks like. I've been told not everything's open, and it's like, you know, it's not what it will be probably in January and February, but yeah. I think it's gonna be sick to get out there. It's been snowing a lot out there. So we're excited, and it's cold here, so
it is cold.
I'm in the mindset of like Christmas snowboarding. Yeah.
We've
holidays.
Been listening to Christmas music,
full disclosure.
Yeah
So
yeah, there's snow on the ground.
Yeah.
It's melting now, but there's probably still snow in the mountains, so
yeah.
It's a winter wonderland out here in Colorado, and it's dope. So
so excited to get on the slopes.
Yeah. So do you have something for us?
Well, yes, I do.
Oh, wow.
Definitely. So, obviously, like we said, this is our second time recording, which is a bummer, because that was so funny in the last episode. Yes. But it's cool. I'll try to be funny
Let's
again.
Let's not harp on that the entire episode.
Okay, well, I have to harp on it a little bit. But we did a game where Noah blindly ranked his top fast food restaurants
without knowing what the next one was.
Exactly. So we're still gonna do that, but we're gonna change it up a little bit. He's still gonna be blindly ranking, you're still gonna be blindly ranking along with us, and then we'll kind of see how his list would compare to what he has to do because he's blindly ranking things, and what it would be if he knew all the category. So category this time will be,
don't mind me.
Category this time will be blindly ranking your top foods.
Foods. Gotcha.
All right. Nice. So 1 through 5.
You have all 5 of them already.
I have all 5 of them already.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Let's do it.
Number 1, pizza. 1 means that's your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
5 is your least favorite of the 5.
Man. How personal are you going to get with this? 1.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That is crazy.
That is crazy.
But I feel like it belongs there.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like pizza that much. Do you have give us your reasoning?
I feel like it's such an icon and a staple. Mm-hmm. And like I could legitimately, like, not that I like crave it all that often.
Yeah.
I do crave it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But even if I don't,
yeah,
I'm not thinking about it, or and you're like, pizza, I'm in for pizza. And I take it in just about any form.
Okay.
Like frozen pizza, Papa John's, Domino's, New York, purebred, Coloradan, deep dish, whatever.
You're there for it.
Yeah. I just think it's so, it's a powerhouse.
Okay.
Of a food. All right. So I'm like, should something really top pizza? Is she going to be able to bring something to mind that tops pizza?
Maybe.
Let's see.
All right. Number two.
Do you think that that was a mistake, my number one?
I'm not going to tell you. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, tacos.
Tacos. Oh, I love tacos. I could do a number two of tacos. I could do tacos number two.
Okay.
Yeah. I love tacos as well. Fantastic. We eat them almost once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like them in all their forms as well.
Okay.
So similar logic to pizza. They are another staple.
Interesting.
And I know that probably cheeseburgers is going to come, and I'm okay with cheeseburgers being below tacos.
Wow. Okay. That's crazy. Hmm. All right. Next one. Mount Fuji's, or like a hibachi.
Mm.
Hibachi.
Mm.
Like the meal they serve you. Don't.
I might. What are you going to do that's going to top hibachi? Because I love egg fried rice. And their chicken. Like, oh. I love hibachi.
Okay.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Because what is that? It's like, even when I just go to a sushi place and just get hibachi,
yeah,
like without them cooking it in front of me, I love just the food. Like,
yeah,
I could take or leave the guy
flipping his stuff around.
Yeah, I could take it or leave it. So
yeah,
three.
I didn't think you'd put pizza one, so this is interesting. All right, you ready for your next one?
Yeah.
Steak.
Shoot.
I already had planned where I was putting them.
So. Steak is good, especially like a primo steak. But if you're talking about like, you know, the average dad's steak on the grill, that's just like not that good.
Okay.
Like that kind of steak, I'm like, meh. But
yeah, good steak.
The primo steak that costs so much. Yeah, that's going to be at four because I got nowhere else to go with it. Okay. Would I have put it above hibachi and tacos? Probably not.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's a true
You love ranking. Steak.
Yeah.
Okay.
But think about hibachi and tacos.
Sure.
And when I think about Takis, I'm really thinking Takis? About Brussels sprout tacos from
Taqueria
in
Morristown.
Yeah.
I didn't like those that much. All right. Number five was sushi.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with it at five.
Gosh. What a lame, what a lame sauce.
I'm okay with it at five. Now, all right, so you give me those and I know what's coming next.
Yeah. Would you change it?
Pizza, hibachi, steak, tacos, sushi.
Okay.
Oh, but tacos that low? Brutal.
Brutal.
No, I'm happy with the ranking of how you ranked them. You ranked them for me.
I didn't rank
them. How would you rank them?
I would rank them tacos, hibachi, pizza, steak, sushi.
Fair.
I don't really like sushi.
Fair.
I like a steak. I'll eat a steak, but I've always said steaks are kind of wasted on me.
Mm-hmm.
I love tacos. Mm. And I love hibachi. Mm. And pizza's great.
Yeah.
So, I would not have a similar ranking to you, really.
Wonderful. So, give us your ranking.
Let us know.
In the order they came, not, you know, with you not knowing what's next, play the game.
Maybe both.
Maybe both.
Give us what it was and then what it would be.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to read it.
I will. I'll respond.
Okay. So, that leads us into the big news of...
The big announcement.
The past 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I got fired. I lost my job.
It's very serious. Yeah,
it's a real thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Take us through it. Take us through it again.
This is exhausting. we were just saying how, like, we've just had to explain this to so many people time and time again, but happy to share it again. So, oh, I don't know. I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
So I think, well, there's just been so much happening around the firing of you.
Yes.
And I know we're not going to go into it, but it was not Noah's fault of him losing it. It was just an unfortunate turn of events. But I think I'll try to like just timeline events, kind of what took place. So, and why it just feels like it's a really big time in our life that we're pivoting in a lot of ways, and why it feels like God's kind of opening the doors to next things. But for a while now, probably like a couple months at this point, you have been kind of feeling maybe like you're called to ministry and kind of like restless at your job in some ways. And then literally on last week's podcast, you were like saying like, I don't really know about my job anymore. And I was like, I don't know if you should say that in case like your boss hears, which he didn't. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened. Mm-hmm. But it did happen that you lost your job the next week. So, so we've been kind of talking and praying about like what would look next, like what would be next for you and when that would happen. Okay, maybe it's next year, maybe whatever. And so then that was like, that's been happening for like 2 months. Mm-hmm. And then this would be like a week and a half ago.
May I?
Yes, you may.
So yeah, I'm feeling that wrestling. I'm talking to my brother, who's my brother-in-law, who's a pastor.
Yeah.
He sets me up for a interview with a guy who helps people transition into full-time ministry.
Yes.
So we are like starting to get this ball rolling, but I want to do it in a safe way. I want to have my full-time job. I want to build up my freelance business, and then I want to build up, train as a pastor. Then I probably would have wanted to quit my full-time job, be a pastor, and have my freelance business, Marshlands, shout out Marshlands, as a extra income.
Yeah.
That's how I would have worked it out in my human understanding.
Yeah. So that was kind of like our plan and what we saw happening, what seemed like reasonable for us. And so we've been having those conversations. And then the Tuesday before you lost your jobs. So this is like two. So we'll go chronologically. Tuesday, we go to this church plant meeting. So we've met some people. We were praying about possibly joining this church plant that's happening, that they're planting a church in Denver. So we go to an interest meeting on Tuesday and kind of just check it out. We had been talking with the pastor and the couple who are planting and felt like pretty good about it, but we're still just praying and thinking about if we were really going to do it. Go to the interest meeting. Both of us kind of left very, very on board and very like, this feels like God has like put this on our plate.
Yeah, we were riding high.
Yeah.
We were like, you felt it immediately, which was like nice for me because I wasn't sure how you're going to feel. And then I felt like as he explained his vision, I was like, just got on board.
Yeah. So it just felt like God was answering a prayer of like church.
These are going to be our people. This is going to be our community.
Yeah.
And this is where we're going to serve.
So we're like driving away Tuesday night feeling really good, getting some canes, loving life. Mm-hmm. So that happens Tuesday. Wednesday comes, very normal, average Wednesday.
The last normal Wednesday.
The last normal Wednesday since. And then Thursday, Noah calls me at like 12 o'clock and is like, hey, I just lost my job.
Yeah.
And I was like, wanted to ask if he, I think I might have asked if you were serious because I was like, it was like, this has to be a joke, but at the same time, your tone of voice, I was like, this is not a joke. Mm-hmm. And I like ran out of my office like tears welling up, and was just like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And like at that point, you really didn't have many answers either. And you were just like, yeah, I don't know. I was sitting in a coffee shop and working, and then they called, whatever. So it was just like very shocking. Do you want to kind of
give your side of things? We plan to join this church meet Tuesday. I go to hang out with the pastor because we're just kind of like, we're friends. And so he's doing his church planning work. I'm doing my remote work at the coffee shop. We're talking about security, business. I'm talking about how I feel like a possible calling.
Yeah.
You know, what we just explained here 5 minutes ago. Just, and he's kind of like, oh, yeah, like, be interesting to see how that works. He's like, oh, I would, like, you should come to this pastor's conference next Monday. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I'll see if I can get out of work. And then we finish that conversation, and I turn to my computer and start working. And in 5 minutes, I get a call. I'm fired. I turn back to him. I'm like, how about that conference?
Yeah. Like, I'm very free all of a sudden.
Yes.
Crazy. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So this, like, this is a kind of like an interesting part of like God's timing, whereas like this church, feeling like I'm called to be a pastor, this church plant, then
already scheduling meetings to talk to people about it. Like, talking, it was on the calendar for the Sunday after you got fired, but you didn't before you knew.
Yes. So
this is like very much you were going that direction.
Yes. So feeling called, deciding on a church plant, getting fired Sunday, getting fired on a Thursday, on Sunday meeting with this guy who helps people transition to ministry, talking Monday, flying to San Antonio, Texas for a pastor's conference.
Yeah, that they flew
getting
out.
Prophesied over.
That's the whole thing.
They prophesied scripture over me, Acts 1:8. Go read Acts 1:8. Great commission. We're all on board. Not much of a difference.
We all got to do that.
In my kind of my tactics. The days that follow, just kind of confirmation between talking to my mom, my sister Abby, my sister Kristen, just like, I think it's pastor. I think that's kind of what's happening next. And just a whirlwind.
Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of the events that happened, right? Mm-hmm. Just like one thing after the other, kind of crazy. I think like the 2 days after, very much just kind of like shock and processing.
Yes.
Sunday, like you said, you met with somebody, we went to church, and I was just standing there at church singing and praying and felt like very much a peace about our situation, which was interesting. And I'm not saying that's been perfect for the last week and a half since everything's kind of happened, but did feel like God was like, I just had this trust of like, God didn't bring us to Colorado for you to lose your job and to him to abandon us. Like, he opened so many doors for us to be here. He opened a job. He opened this apartment. He's now brought us to a church and community. And it's like, he didn't just do that. And he's going to be like, well, good luck now. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in that moment, and there were moments that challenged it after, but in that moment, I was like, God's doing something. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe it's pivoting to ministry or something else, but like, God is doing something. Mm-hmm. And then I think since then, we've really tried to keep that attitude and very much have struggled at times. But I think my hope in this season is to look back and be like, I trusted God. Because I think there's a lot of seasons in my life that I can look back that things were not going my way or what I would have done, and I didn't trust God, and I got angry or I got frustrated or I got scared. And I'm saying, like, all those things have happened in the last week and a half, but I think the Lord's working and has grown me in some ways that I truly think, like, to something that's hard and unplanned and like difficult, I think my response has been like more positive than in the past, which is cool. But I'm just we're just like praying that that continues, because obviously there's been hard conversations of reality, of finances, of budgeting things like tighter than we've had to, and what would happen if this, and you know, obviously Denver's expensive and whatever. So it's like there have been fearful conversations and scary days and not trusting, but I think we both try to keep coming back to like being there for each other and like trusting God.
There has been a determination to hold on even though we don't want to. Like, I want to fear, I want to be anxious, I want to be stressed, I want to try and just figure out how to fix it. But it's like you have to almost like command your flesh in a way, to be like, no, I want to hold on to God. I want to remember, look back on this season and be like, God was faithful and we trust that. Like, we knew he would be faithful, even though we couldn't see it. So that's very much been the feelings around it, of just like, all right, God, like, we know you have something for us. There's an opportunity here. You are calling us to something. Show us, you know, we want to just trust you and have faith. So that's been interesting, and like, what a growing process, you know, like really growing. So I'm trying to inject here a little bit of like the, maybe a person watching this video who, maybe has gotten bad news, you know, or just different news than what they were expecting. You know, they weren't expecting any news and now they're getting, you know, something, and it's like, you know, how do you, how have we kind of held on? I know that, like, for me myself, I know that, like, doubling down on reading in the morning has been like, and journaling has really been like, feeling like God is ministering to me, whether it applies directly to the struggle we're going through, but it's like at least his voice is there, and I can better feel that he is there.
I think like my mom, when I called and kind of was talking to my mom through it all, she was just like, I don't know if she was talking about this or when she started to pray, but she was just saying like the devil or whatever is like, is going to try to make you fearful. And like, it's going, like, you are going to have to actively fight against like fear, but that's not from God. Like, fear isn't from God. Anxiety isn't from God. And so like, you have to be aware of that and like fight against that and just like continue to pray and ask God, like, please help me to trust you. Please give me guidance in this, because that's not our natural response at all. And so I feel like we've had moments, maybe we've had arguments about certain things, or we'll like get scared about something, and then that kind of like causes friction. I feel like we continue to like try to come back to like, God's got us, he's working in it, and like reminding of us like what is true, and that we do believe that. And then I think on top of that is like, we're also taking steps forward. We're not just being like, I trust God, we'll just sit here and podcast till till he brings something. So I was gonna just say, like,
it's a great point.
I was gonna ask, like, what are you doing? What do you feel like is a next step, or maybe how are you taking steps forward in like faith?
There's like, because there's a desire to be like, people tell the story of the person, there's a person stranded on an island and they're saying, God rescue me, and a lifeboat comes by and they're like, get in, and they're like, no, God's gonna rescue me, and then a helicopter comes and they're like, climb in, and he's like, no, God's gonna rescue me, and then God shows up and they're like, why didn't you rescue me? And he's like, I sent you a lifeboat and a helicopter. So there's a desire to step out of God's way and be like, your will be done. But there's also a desire to take initiative and step towards my calling or whatever, you know? So I explained it as like, I'm juggling three balls right now. And so one of the balls is, a full-time job. I'm like, if God wants to just give us a full-time job to like get us financially in that place again. Like, I want to give them the opportunity to do so. So I am spending like more than just my power hour, but I got my power hour every morning where I'm just like on LinkedIn trying to attack it from every angle. But then I'm on multiple times a day just trying to apply. The second ball is my personal business, trying to release, trying to design, make designs, release them so that I'm gaining like a following, maybe getting clients, like reaching out, trying to take this course that is like helps with lead generation. And the third ball is this pastoral calling, and I need training for that. And so the big question is, what training route am I going to pursue? Am I going to pursue something short, cheap, practical, or am I looking at seminary or what? And so just an immense amount of prayer and trying to analyze, but also trying to dream. You know, your dad told me, like, God will give you the desires of your heart. You know, he is a good father who gives good gifts. So it's like I'm trying to pray boldly on top of it. On top of it all, to be like, I don't want to just pray a passive prayer. I want to pray boldly and like, God, please, you know, give us the funds to pay for seminary and give me a job in a pastoral position that allows us to live here. So that's kind of like the bold prayer, whereas I'm battling the urge to be like, well, if you will, seminary, but if you have another route for me, I'll be okay with that. Like, he knows I'll be okay with it. So that's kind of the state of maybe my day-to-day and my prayers and and then just like really cool moment of 2 years ago, we did a Passover feast with a Messianic Jew who led us through the Passover feast. Lindsay and I did this with a group of friends, and it was all just how the Passover feast points to Jesus. And the woman who was helping run it had like the gift of prophecy and apparently turned to my sister and was like, pointed to me and said, I see pastor over that man's head. That was 2 years ago, and nobody told me that 2 years ago. But now, in the middle of this 2 weeks, while this tornado is happening, my life is being flipped upside down. My sister tells me that, and I'm just like, and I don't want the calling to ministry for us to be like, well, there was all these cool signs and wonders that happened. Something practical that a mentor asked me today was like, he asked three very practical questions. So this is kind of maybe more for the audience of like, if you're wrestling with a call to ministry or a call to anything, like what major you should pick or you know, whatever, like what job career path you want to pursue, or maybe moving to a different place, like whatever is like, The first question he gave was, do I have a desire for it? So do we have a desire for ministry? And you would answer.
Yes.
And I would answer. Yes.
I can't answer for you.
You can't answer for me.
First I thought it was rhetorical, then.
So yes, we have a desire for ministry. The second question is, what's the second question?
I don't know the question.
The second question is, do people affirm?
Right.
So have people affirmed?
Yeah. Well, I would say no. Well, I would say like, I don't know. I've never asked.
Yeah. You're hoping to have those conversations.
And yeah.
Me, yes, people, like just at the crew night last night, like two people were like, oh yeah, you'd be really good at that. So like, I get affirmation for that calling. The third question is, have you done anything similar, or have you done it before, and have you seen fruit there? And you've done ministry, and I have done ministry. You've led prayer mornings, and I've led Bible studies and worship. We've both led worship nights. We haven't led
we organize
the
worship
them. We organize them.
Yeah.
And we've seen fruit.
I think so.
So, like, a yes to all those questions, pending your response.
Oh, yes.
And then the last question is, are we ready? Am I ready to make the sacrifice it may cost me?
Right.
That God may require of us. Not that he requires sacrifices, but often the call to ministry comes with the sacrifice of living a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that was like the big question.
Yeah.
For me, like, am I ready for that?
Yeah. And that's a hard question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, and like, as I think about it, I think it's easy to just say, yeah, of course. Like, that's the right answer. The right answer is to say, like, of course, God, whatever you call me to, I'll step into. But I'm just trying to take time to really think about it and process it and be honest. And, like, my answer isn't 1,000% right now. It's not 1,000% yes. Like, I know that's what it should be. And I know that if God does bring us to that, he will guide me and give me strength to be able to do those things and to be able to sacrifice for him and live how he's calling us to. But am I, like, fearful in the sense, or, like, is it, do I hesitate? Because, yeah, it's, like, uncomfortable. It's not necessarily what we planned. It means, like, we're kind of changing the next couple years of our life. So it's, like, yeah, that's, I think if you're saying, like, yes, 1,000%, like, I would, like, right away, you know, there's some hesitancy there. And I don't think, like, God wouldn't get us there or get me there. I think it's just, like, I'm just trying to really process what it means and be honest and pray that, yeah, God will guide us there and guide me through it all. But
yeah,
it's a hard question. It's easy to say yes.
Yeah.
It's not easy to live.
Hmm.
And live well for the next 60 years.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's interesting in even thinking about, like, God calling the Israelites. Like, they didn't necessarily know what they were called to or what they were in for or what wrong turns they would make. Like,
yeah.
I think that's probably a fear I'm wrestling with right now is, and I just read this morning, is when Moses goes up on Mount Sinai and is getting the law from God, and the Israelites give Aaron all their gold and make a golden calf and then go buck wild and start having orgies and worshiping the golden calf and stuff.
Okay.
Wild. Absolutely wild. But I'm just like, okay, what, like, are the possible golden calves that, like, I'm tempted to run towards in this moment? And, like, because I could make my freelance business a golden calf.
Yeah, like, I have to make that work. Mm-hmm. That's the answer.
Or the full-time job could be the golden calf, or, like,
yeah, or the pastoral ministry.
The pastoral ministry could be a golden calf. I'm like,
which, so I think, like, we're kind of talking about too, because just, like, realistically, we need to be able to pay for where we're living. We need to be able to pay for groceries. So, like, there's just, like, a reality side. And I think we're also trying to keep in mind that, like, listening to God's timing and not ours, because he could give you, like, a job, like, in ministry or make it work, but it might not happen in 2 weeks. It might happen in 6 months or 8 months. And in the meantime, then you're called to a different place, or you're called to something, like, simpler that you don't really want to do or whatever. And just, like, trusting that he's still working in this, like, this moment, but maybe he's giving you this space to think about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, you were thinking about it, but it was, like, maybe in the future, maybe in a year or two. But now it's, like, oh, like, think about it now. Like, you're kind of being forced to think about it, pray about it, talk with tons of people about it, which I think is great. But it's, like, yeah, if he calls you into something, like you said, the island, like, if he's sending you a boat, we're trying to be like, well, God, well, that's maybe the answer right now, and that's okay.
Trying to follow provision, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, a good thing. And then I just, like, think it's so funny in a way of, like, what we started this podcast and what we named being just, like, just Liquid Hallways is, like, a weird name. And we were kind of, like, Yeah, I think we get the concept. Like, I think this makes sense. I think it's a cool idea, and it happens in life time and time again. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, here's like a very blatant example of, like, to me, God, like, standing in front of a sea that was like a loss of a job, more than half our finances, like all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then he's like opening those seas. He's making a liquid hallway.
Mm.
But in my mind, it's like, well, we can't see the end of it. Mm. We can't see what's on the other side. Or even when we were talking the other day, I was like, I can kind of picture maybe in 5 years if you were a pastor and what that would look like. But I'm like, but the next 5 years, how we get there, I have no idea.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like almost like, I think God's bringing us here, but I'm like we're having to try to take steps towards it. But it's very scary because it just feels like, to continue with the metaphor, those walls could just like collapse at any moment.
So I think we had conversations like this back in New Jersey like 6 months ago, where it was like we talked about me, like my desire for maybe ministry, and that we both could see me in that. But I think the conversation would just end very shortly and abruptly with like, well, we don't see how that's a possibility, like how God would make that happen.
Yeah, God's gonna have to do something.
Yeah, I think we would say something like that. And so now God's doing something. And then I'm just picturing what it would be like to really be walking through that liquid hallway. And like, one, holy moly, terrifying.
Dark.
Like, gigantic.
Scary. Wall loud.
Of water that you're like.
You're just trudging.
Could just come back and then I'm dead. You know, like. But then also, like, but could be a moment of, like, wow, that's beautiful in there. Like, deep blue water, you know, like, light shining through the top. Like, almost like a gradient of blue and green with, like, the sea life swimming through it. Like, and it's like, okay. Like,
and I don't know about you, but I imagine it, like, opening like this. Mm. So it's not like this.
Mm.
Where you can like see
yeah.
And it's like, well, it's good for a while,
and it's like
God's like slowly opening it
like a cornfield or something,
yeah. And so it's like every step you take, he opens it a little bit more,
yeah. So it's like, and I feel like what we are trying to force ourselves to believe is like, is not believe, but force ourselves to see the beauty right now,
yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be faithful, gonna like been grinding, but gonna take a day tomorrow to just bask in the beauty that is the Rocky Mountains.
That's a saying, right?
Grind.
Yeah, it's like a snowboard term.
You grind on a rail.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just a moment to enjoy this opportunity he's given us and trust in him. And so, but I must say I will probably feel a little bit guilty tomorrow. Not doing anything to try and progress work. So
I won't.
Anyways, so that is what are we at? 40.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, we've been here for so long.
Yeah. So thank you so much for tuning in, for watching, for taking this journey with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're in deep with God right now. We are walking, not by sight.
Yeah.
So
trudging just along.
Pray for us. And we just hope that you will do the same. We hope that you will walk by faith and not by sight. Peace.
Dear Lord, please help that. I can't.